Good to be with you again tonight. I see all of you here. We've got a few that empty pews haven't we? We've got some encouraging to do for those who are not here. I know some of us struggle with our health and are unable to be here, but we have others who have chosen not to be, and we need to encourage them to be with us, to be a part of this service. Again, I'll ask for your forgiveness for my voice. Hopefully this morning I did okay, so we will try to get through it this morning. I'm so glad that Van chose Amazing Grace to close us out tonight in our invitation with the message we're going to discuss this evening. Grace is something that's really important. It's important to us as Christians that God gives us grace. But there's also another sense in which we, as Christians, should be gracious people. We're going to talk about that for just a few moments. The main text we'll be looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And we'll get there in just a moment. But I was thinking, as I was looking over the lesson this afternoon, about a conversation this week that Lisa and I had. Now, I don't know if you're like me or not, but I like to be right. Sometimes, you might even say, I get a little bit stubborn about my rightness, that I have to be correct. And sometimes, I'm not right. There's been a few. I think of that passage in John. John said if we wrote down all the miracles and works of Jesus, there would not be enough books to contain them. Probably if you wrote down all the times I was wrong, there may not be enough books to contain those either. But sometimes I'm just so sure I'm right. And this week I was really sure. And how dare you say that I'm wrong? I know I'm right. I was wrong. And I had to eat crow. Told her I'm going to have to eat some immense crow, because I was wrong. Sometimes we have disagreements. Some of our disagreements within the church are important things that must be discussed, and conclusions have to be reached. Those things that are doctrinal, those things that God has commanded us to do or to not do. Those things we have to get right. And so we have to study and work to come to an agreement on those things. But in life, there are also times when we have matters of opinion. There are lots of things that God's given us the ability to choose. God hasn't told us everything we need to do, or every way in which to do what we do. And sometimes it comes down to just a matter of subjective opinion. I like it one way, and you may like it another. And so as Christians, in those moments, how do we handle that? How do we handle disagreements of opinion? Well, if you will, let's turn into 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And I want us to look at what's going on here and make some applications for ourselves. One thing in life that we all should strive to do, or not do, rather, is to become a stumbling block to other Christians. We all should strive to be stepping stones for Christians and not stumbling blocks. And we'll look at that in just a few moments. But in avoiding being a stumbling block, I think 1 Corinthians 8 teaches us a valuable principle along that way. First thing, I want to deal with the confusion that was going on with the Corinthian church. If you will, read verse 4 with me. We'll put special emphasis on the first part of that verse, but there in the text, Paul says, "Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, We know that an idol is nothing in the world, and there's no other God but one. In verse 4, in the first part, he tells us what the disagreement is over. And it's over meats that had been offered or were supposed to be offered to idolatrous gods. In the city of Corinth, like many cities in that area, had a lot of idolatry going on. All kinds of gods in the community. Well, there, too, they had a huge marketplace. And in the marketplace, you would go and buy your goods. Not only would the idolatrous Corinthians go there to buy their goods, but so would Christians. They would go into the market and they would buy things that they need. Meats, for one. Now, in that market, they would not just sell... There would be all kinds of meats, and one of them would be meats that were set aside for idolatrous worship and were not used for some reason. And so the Christians would go in, they'd go in the market, and there were some who were buying that meat to eat. Now, in Corinth, you had a melting pot, if you will, of Christians. It wasn't just Jewish Christians who were there, but you had also Gentile Christians who were part of the congregation. And so you had an odd mix of people, people from very different backgrounds. And so some of those Christians would go in there and buy the meat, and other Christians would see them buying meat and not look kindly on it. And it would become a dispute in the congregation. So much of a dispute that even Paul wrote about it. And that's what Acts chapter 8 is all about. And so the question arises, is it right for a Christian to eat meat that has been sacrificed to an idol? You know, when we think about these kind of discussions, you know, it's not just the Corinthians who have these disagreements. It's also us. Do we ever have disagreements? Absolutely. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16. I want you to notice what Peter said about the teachings of Paul. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16. He wrote, as also in his epistles, that's the Paul's epistles or letters, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable peoples twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of Scriptures. What's Peter saying? Well, he's saying that sometimes Scripture can be difficult for us to understand. Sometimes we have to really study to really understand a topic or a command of God or what God really wants of us. And Paul wrote about some things that were a little bit difficult to understand, even for the Apostle Peter. And there's a danger in that, isn't there? What's the danger? It's that sometimes Christians get it wrong. And some people get it wrong on purpose. And they twist and contort the Scriptures into what they think it should say, not what it says. But as Christians, we have those times that come up. James said in James 3 and verse 2, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, also able to bridle the whole body. What's James doing? He's reminding us that we're human beings. We're all imperfect. And we are all capable of sinning. We are all capable of misunderstanding. It's a scary thing when a Christian gets to the point in his life when he thinks he understands it all. Do we ever do that? We better be careful, hadn't we? We've talked about in the past about Even as we get older and we've been a Christian for a while, we still need to continue to challenge the way we think about Scripture. Not that it's wrong. It could be very well right. What's the harm in challenging ourselves unless we're worried that we might be wrong? So there are times when we must challenge ourselves. There's an important question that comes to mind in this discussion. And that is the question of, is the disagreement over a scriptural matter or an opinion matter? That's important, isn't it? Because what do we have to get right? Doctrine. We have to get that right. God demands that of us. But opinion, well, it's opinion. It's neither right nor wrong. Your opinion, as good as it may be, is not the right way necessarily to do something. It's your opinion of the best way. It's my opinion. We have to be careful with opinions, don't we? The church in Corinth had to be careful with opinions. That's the confusion. They're confused. What's the right answer here? Is it wrong, scripturally, righteously, to eat meat sacrificed to idols? Well, Paul is going to clarify that issue for us. If we'll continue reading, we'll go back to verse 4 and read the text through verse 5. The text tells us, therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. For even if there are also there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father of whom all things, whom are all things, and we are for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we live. Now there were, Paul says in verse 5, there are so-called gods. And he says there are many. He's not talking about real gods. It's the gods that men create in their own minds. And so he says, first, he establishes the fact that though there are many idols, all of which represent what? Gods who do not exist. Remember when Paul went to Mars Hill and he talked to the Athenians? And he said, you know, I can see you're very religious. Look at all the gods you have. Yet there is only one God. And he is the one you worship unknowingly, who is the unknown God. And he goes on to talk about that God, the real God, Yahweh. Number one, he points out that there is only one God. These idols that men worship, they're not gods. And so their worship is vain, it's meaningless. We also notice in the passage here in verse 6, and he said there that God is the only true God. There is only one true God, the creator of all things and the giver of life. Those idols in the city, those idols are powerless. They're powerless because they do not exist. They cannot create life and they cannot destroy life. They're not real. And then notice verse 8. But food does not commend us to God. For neither if we eat are we better, nor if we do not eat, are we the worse. What's he saying? Food is not going to, what kind of food you eat is not going to get you closer to God or further away. God does not care about the food you consume. It's a big deal for the Jews, right? Remember when Peter received that vision of the thick net coming down? What was God trying to show him? Well, the direct message is that Gentiles are accepted. But also, God now has opened up all meats for men to eat. That's a heavy burden for Jewish people to overcome. Their whole life they've heard that it's wrong to eat pork. And God's telling them, that's not wrong. Because it doesn't matter. It's not going to get you any closer to God. In light of the above, there is no connection between food and God. That meat that had been offered to idols, it's just meat. There's nothing inherently evil in the meat. Notice what Jesus says in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, and we begin in verse 18. So he said to them, "You are thus without understanding also. Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods." Jesus was way ahead of Peter, wasn't he? Notice he continues in verse 20, and he said, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man." Why? "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." Food doesn't defile you. You defile you. Your evil heart defiles you. Unfortunately, in Corinth, there were certain individuals who just simply didn't understand this. And that's why it created a division there. And some were being harmed in their faith because they were watching Christians eat this meat. And they didn't understand. I was reminded of Acts chapter 8. We've mentioned this a lot recently, but I thought it was very apropos for the moment. Acts chapter 8 and verse 30. Peter had joined the Ethiopian eunuch in the chariot. And you remember as he's walking up, he can hear him reading scripture. And God had called him to this eunuch. Notice the exchange between Philip and the eunuch. Verse 30, "So Philip ran up to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' And he said, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' And he asked Philip to come and sit with him." Sometimes people need some guidance in their lives. Sometimes they need guidance in their understanding of the Word of God. John 16, verse 13, Jesus said to the apostles, to the great apostles, the men of God who would lead the church, he said in verse 13, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come." Even the apostles needed guidance. They didn't understand everything immediately. They had to be guided to the truth. And sometimes we need to be guided to the truth. So we understand the confusion. It's over meat sacrificed idols. Paul clarified the issue for us that for you to go and to eat that meat, well, there's nothing wrong with that. Because that meat is not going to defile you. It's your heart that defiles you. It's you who defile you. But there's a concern. Notice verse 7. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some with a consciousness of the idol until now eat as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. What's Paul doing? He's providing the Corinthians with a warning. He warns that not all Christians fully realize that meat is just meat. And some are upset when other believers eat such meat. There are some who just simply don't understand that Christians are at liberty to partake of that meat. And because they don't understand that, their faith is being weakened even further. Romans chapter 14, he explains a similar situation in the Roman church. Romans 14, verse 1, he says, "Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things." Don't argue. Don't get together to have arguments over opinions. "For one believes that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. Let not him who does not eat judge him who eats. For God has received him. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand." And then verse 8, he says, "For if we live to the Lord, and if we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." Paul is trying to remind the Roman church, and this is something we ought to listen to, don't dispute over matters of opinion. Over things that are of man's design. Over tradition. Those things should not divide us. This morning we read Matthew chapter 18, 1 through 6. And I want us to notice again verse 6 of that passage. What Jesus warns his disciples about. And he warns us. "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea." He's talking about children there. But I think there's an application for those who are new in the faith. They are like babes, aren't they? Those Corinthian Christians who were still learning and growing in their faith and understanding were still babes in Christ. And there's a warning to the Corinthians and us as well about how we conduct ourselves with them. Are we arguing about matters of opinion? Are we dividing ourselves over matters of opinion? Do we pull each other down over matters of opinion? So we see the confusion. We see the clarification. We know the concern. What's the challenge? There's two things I want us to challenge ourselves with. Number one, as a child of God, I don't want to be a stumbling block to other Christians. I don't want to cause other Christians to fall. 1 Corinthians 8, 9 through 11, Paul states it like this: "But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours," what's that liberty? That's the right to eat that meat, because it's really just meat. They were free to do that. Somehow, lest this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating an idol, eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? They needed to be mindful. Yes, they had the liberty to eat that meat. But he says, you need to be careful. Because those who see you may get the idea that, well, they're Christians. They're eating meat that was supposed to be offered to an idol. Well, then I guess if I go to an idolatrous worship and eat the meat, then I'm okay. There's a difference there, isn't there? It's about attending that idolatrous worship, being a part of the idolatrous worship. See, that meat you buy in the market, you take home and you cook, and it's not a part of the idolatrous worship. But once you participate in that false worship, you become a sinner. And it goes from opinion to a doctrinal issue, to a sin issue. We need to be careful we don't cause our brothers and sisters to stumble because we have certain liberties. Or to stumble because we have certain opinions and we want those dogmatically done the way we want them done. Notice verse 12. But when you thus sin against your brother and wound their conscience, notice, you what? Sin against the Lord. Sin against Christ. There's a real warning in that for those Corinthians. And there's a warning in that for us as well. And we take our opinions too far. But there's another challenge here, and a positive challenge. And that as a Christian, I don't want to be a stumbling block. I don't want to cause others to stumble. I want to be a stepping stone to help them in their journey toward Christ, to help them grow in their understanding of the Word of God. We do want to become a stepping stone. Notice verses 1 through 3 of this same chapter. Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we have all knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. If any one of you thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing. Yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. That's God. We have to be careful with how much we know. We have to be careful that it doesn't puff us up and puff up our egos because we know the right way to do things. We need to have love. A large part of who we are, to be who we are. John 15, verse 12, Jesus left this commandment. This is my commandment, this commandment of the Lord. Now, we talked about matters of opinion. This isn't a matter of opinion. This is a commandment of the Lord. He says, my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. That's a big statement of love, isn't it? That's the greatest statement of love. If we're going to love people like Jesus loved us, then we're going to look out for their best interest. Our opinions and our knowledge, quote unquote, are going to be a lot less important than that Christian going to heaven. Our egos are going to be a lot less important. Our pride is going to be a lot less important. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, Peter wrote it this way. 1 Peter 1:22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Christ said, you will know them by their love for one another. Are we known by our love? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, Paul wrote that, as a child of God, I should bear one another's burdens. And in doing so, I fulfill the law of Christ. Part of bearing each other's burdens is putting our own opinions and pride aside and looking out for the best of others. So when we get to the end, we know the confusion that occurs in the Lord's church. We're human beings. We have disagreements. Some of those are over doctrinal matters, and some are over matters of opinion. We need to be working at clarifying the issues, understanding the Word of God, and making our discernment based upon the Word of God. We need to have concern for one another. We need to look out for what's best for one another. And we need to challenge ourselves to not be a stumbling block, not getting in the way of others, but to challenge ourselves to be a stepping stone for others, to help and to aid. Paul gets to the conclusion of the matter in verse 13. Notice what he says. It's an amazing statement. He says, therefore, and notice in this statement, he's not making it or directing it at them. He's directing it at himself first. He says, therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. What an amazing statement. He said, I'm going to give up meat. Now, I like meat. I think most men, probably some of the ladies, like me. That would be a difficult choice to give up eating meat. But Paul says, if that's going to inhibit my brother or sister from getting to heaven, I'll give it up. I'm not going to allow that to get between them and God and me and God or me and them. Romans chapter 15. Notice what Paul wrote. Romans 15, verse 1. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of you please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the approaches of those who approached you fell on me. And the love of Christ should be at the heart of all of our discussions, should be at the heart of all the things we do. In life, we disagree. We need to understand, is this something that's doctrinal? Is it really doctrinal? And if it is, we need to find the right answer as a team. If it is not, and it's a matter of opinion, we need to give way, not to opinion, but to what's best for unity and for love. Do you have a need today to be restored? Do you have a need today to ask for the prayers of your family? You need to come forward as we stand and sing and to ask for God's forgiveness and forgiveness of the congregation. If you're not a Christian, you need to come requesting the grace of God. We talked about grace at the beginning. In just a moment, Van's going to lead us in amazing grace. How amazing is that grace? The grace that led our Lord, our God, to the cross. He did that because he loved you. He did that because he loves your friends, your relatives, your family, your neighbors, even your enemies. He loves them too. And that's something we ought to keep in mind as we reach out to others. Do you need to partake in that grace today? Do you need to become a child of God? Or do you just need to ask for God to give you that grace again, to give you forgiveness? If you have any need, please come together and stand and sit.